you here have children, and remember what the process was like naming your child. You're a new mom and dad, and you're expecting, and you go out and maybe buy a book on Amazon, or maybe you're surfing the net for just the right name. People go through all kinds of interesting exercises in finding just the right name. I was talking with Gerhardt this morning. He's got three children, and all are named with the letter E. And how you came to that discovery of Elijah and Ellie and Emma, it's interesting. You're in bed at night. Maybe you're thumbing through, trying to pick just the right name if it's a girl. What are the best options for the next Wonder Woman, right? Or maybe the next Taylor Swift or Kendall Jenner, you know, great entrepreneurs. If it's a boy, what are names that are going to match up with the next tech world genius that resides in Silicon Valley? My son, his name is Garrett. There's a picture of my boy. His middle name is Randall. I gave him my own middle name. I think it sounds kind of important, don't you? It's got strength. My son was always imagining that he was a superhero when he was young. With our eldest daughter, Kristen Elise, Jewel took the lead with these names. My wife was a preschool director for many, many years, and she had a little girl at preschool whose name was Kristen. Kristen just kind of captures a little girl who's maybe sporty and lots of fun. She had such a sunny disposition, our Kristen Elise. And then, of course, Elise is a beautiful form, a French form of Elizabeth. And then there's Justine Danielle. She's our middle daughter, Justine. The name came from an interesting origin. I'd actually read a novel while I was in college, and I encountered this name, Justine. The story was based in the country of Australia. I encountered this name, Justine, for the very first time, and I love the way it sounded. And with all of our children, we considered the meaning. We considered the biblical meaning of their names as well as the cultural meaning of their names. Some of you like to go with names that are kind of hot right now, and some of you maybe have chosen names that are a little more classic in the way that they sound. Like Justine's middle name for us, we really thought about the biblical meaning, the female version of Daniel. And many of you know the meaning of Daniel is God is my judge. Sometimes the names that we are given don't work out very well. Consider some of these really famous movie stars. Helen Mirren. Any of you familiar with Helen Mirren? I love Helen Mirren's work. She's one of my favorite actresses. She was born with the name Elena Lydia Vasilyevna Mironov. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Those of you in the senior set might remember Kirk Douglas, that handsome man of yesteryear, who was born Isur Danielovich. Or how about the tough guy? Maybe one of the original tough guys, for those of you that remember, John Wayne. John Wayne, interestingly, this macho man, was given the name at birth Marion. Marion Morrison. Can you picture John Wayne as Marion Morrison? And how about Judy Garland? Oh, we all love Judy Garland. Judy Garland, who in Meet Me in St. Louis introduced to us for the first time that song that we continue to love to hear, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. You guys all remember that song, right? Yeah. And her pianist, interestingly, the one who composed the song, Hugh Martin, later became a Seventh-day Adventist and played for, I heard her name this morning, Del Delker. Yeah. I was actually, my very first church out of college was Camarillo, California. It's in Ventura County. And Hugh Martin was one of our members there. So in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, there is this prophecy that says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's a boy. It's a boy. A son is given. What's his name? What's his name? And Isaiah continues, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, you've got to confess, that's a pretty long name, isn't it? I mean, what are you going to call this little boy for short? His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, what's going on here in this passage? You see, in this culture, the name that you were to give a child, particularly a son, in that male-dominated culture, was very, very important. But it was especially important for the Messiah. The Messiah, the one that everyone longed to have appear. Between 700 and 800 years before Jesus, Isaiah gives this prophecy, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Because in his very essence, Messiah would be a mighty God. He would be an everlasting Father. He would be the Prince of Peace. And this morning, I want to just take a look for just a few moments at this name, Wonderful Counselor. What does it mean for us today that Messiah would be a Wonderful Counselor? That he would come to each of us as a Wonderful Counselor? There's another question that I have in my mind. We were taught in theological school and seminary that it's very important to know exactly what the text means to us personally, right? That's the application. That's the practical application of God's written word for our lives. But what they told us that maybe it's even more important first is to determine what does that mean to the people who originally heard it. So I'd like to take you for just a moment back into the life of Isaiah, into their world, into their existence. I want to ask that very first question. What did this passage originally mean to the people of Israel when they heard it during Isaiah's time? Why did the people of Israel in Isaiah's day need to hear these words so desperately? What was going on? When it was said here that the coming Messiah was to be a Wonderful Counselor, I need you to understand what kind of counsel God's people were getting at the time. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their gods, says the prophet Isaiah? Why would you consult the dead on behalf of the living? So where were people going during that day for their counsel? Where were they going for advice? Where were they going for practical spiritual guidance? Isaiah pushes back in the context in which he lives. He pushes back. The people are going to be challenged. Israel is being challenged about consulting mediums and fortune tellers and astrologers in order to receive wisdom and spiritual direction. The people of Israel during that day were consulting some really crazy sources. Can you imagine? To mysticism, to magic, to paranormal activities, and to even the occult. Can you imagine people who are so primitive that they would resort to these kinds of counsel? I mean, are you a bit shocked, even horrified, that God's people would also be consulting in these sources? What if you were to sit in on one of our elders' meetings at Woodside Church, or maybe an executive board meeting here at our church, because you really wanted to find out how important decisions are made at this church? And maybe you were shocked to find out that what we do is we gather as elders and we get around a round table and we light some candles and we turn the lights down really low. Or maybe our head elder, Brent, maybe he has everyone pull out their smartphones and consult their horoscope app. Or maybe you were stuck in a really difficult life situation. You know, you're really going through some tough experiences and you really need someone that can come alongside you and offer you some wise spiritual counsel. And you're just trying to hear the heart of God. You're trying to discern what is right and what is wrong. And the spiritual leader, maybe it's me, brings out a little bag of crystals and hands it to you and says, I'd like for you to travel a couple of hours, maybe close to three, up I-5 to Mount Shasta. At Mount Shasta, there is this magical force emanating from the mountain. You know that some people believe that to be true. And if you listen, and if you search your true self within you, you will discover the right answer. I mean, you'd probably be horrified, wouldn't you? Just let that sink in for a moment, that in the land of Israel, in the midst of God's people, when it says that someday there will be a wonderful counselor that will come, a child will be born, Messiah will come, and he will be a wonderful counselor. I think we need to understand what kind of counsel they were getting. And all of a sudden, it makes a really important difference for us, because the time in which this counsel was given to God's people was a very dark period in the history of Israel. Why did these people in Isaiah's time need to hear this so badly? Unto us a child is born, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor. You see, in that time period, God's people were traveling through a really dark period, a period of darkness and death, and death and darkness. But it got even worse, because during that time, the king that was reigning over Israel, his name was Ahaz. Now, Ahaz was not one of the best kings in Israel. In fact, many consider him to be near the bottom of the list. Ahaz is about to set up a political alliance that is going to send the nation of Israel spiraling into death and destruction. Not long after Isaiah's prophecy, there's going to be an era called the Babylonian captivity. Some of you are familiar with the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian army, as fierce as it was, is going to march down from the north, and they're going to steamroll through Israel. They were the original blitzkrieg. And they're going to destroy the city of Jerusalem, and the survivors are going to be deported 500 miles away to the country of Babylon. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 21, it gives us an interesting picture as to what was going on. Distressed and hungry, they will roam throughout the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and they will curse their God. I mean, it's okay to curse the king, right? He made some choices to get you in that fix, but God didn't walk away from you. You walked away from him. Let's continue. The concept of light and darkness hits us again in verse 22. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. There it is again. Darkness and death, and death and darkness. And with that, chapter 8 closes, and we move into chapter 9. In chapter 9, we begin with these words. Chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. All of a sudden, into the darkness, the mood shifts. Isaiah says that right now in the midst of this pathetic darkness, and this darkness is awful, but for those people walking in darkness, Isaiah gives hope. They will see a great light. For those walking in darkness, in the shadow of death, a light will dawn. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah says to the people of Israel, and Isaiah says to you and me today, darkness will not have the final word. The foolish advice of Ahaz will be transformed by the wonderful counsel of Messiah. I think about that verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. I think about what that means for you and I today. I think about that for you. I just wonder if some of you here today, you need to hear this verse, that there is light in the midst of darkness. Because if you're honest, maybe some of you would confess that this last year has not been the best for you. Maybe you're in a season of darkness right now. Some of you will be remembering the past year as a year of loss. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've experienced what it's like to lose someone that you are deeply attached to. Someone that you deeply love. And one day they're here and the next day they're gone. Some of you may remember this past season with guilt and regret. Maybe it's because of particular choices that you have made in your personal life, or maybe it's with choices that you've made in your most important relationships. Some of you here maybe have heard from the doctor a very difficult prognosis to deal with. And you're in the midst of a lot of questions and concerns about your health and maybe the future feels at risk. I think of people who are job hunting right now. Some maybe job hunting for the second or third or fourth time over the last couple of years. People who have experienced layoffs, people that have gone through companies that are restructuring, you lose your job, you keep your chin up, you try to stay optimistic, you try to network, you write all the important resumes, you make the phone calls, maybe you get an interview and maybe you don't. But for many, during this season, the holidays can be a dark season. Maybe for some of us, it's the first holiday since the divorce was final. There have been custody issues. Maybe you're trying to figure out how it's all going to work. Maybe the kids are at her place on Thanksgiving Day, and they're over at your apartment on Black Friday. Sound about right? Exes that are both pretending that everything's going to come out all right. That's why this passage here in Isaiah chapter 9 is here. These people were traveling through a mess, And right in the middle of this darkness and mess, there's this prophecy that Messiah, Jesus, will come. That the light will dawn and the darkness will not get the final word. That there will be hope in the midst of the darkness. And the people wait. Seasons come and go. Years come and go. Decades come and go. Empires rise and fall. It's first the Babylonians and then the Persians and then the Greeks with Alexander the Great. And now the Romans are ruling and controlling the Mediterranean world. And then we find a young woman by the name of Mary, just a young woman, still a virgin. She brings forth her son, a firstborn, and she lays him in a manger. And there was no room for him in the inn. At long last, God comes to the planet that he has created. He comes not to some noble, wealthy family. He comes to a family finding itself in abject poverty. And the long-awaited, much-prayed-for Messiah is placed. Where is he placed? In a feeding trough. The light of life has come. John, who traveled with Jesus for 3 years, would write about the coming of Jesus with these words in John chapter 1. It harkens back to the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, John says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then he closes with these words. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. John looks at the coming of Jesus and he says that in Jesus, in the Messiah, in him, the light shines through the darkness. In him was life and light. I wonder if when John wrote these words, he hearkened back to Isaiah chapter 8 and 9. Look into the manger. Who do you see there? What's his name? His name is Jesus. What else is his name? In your imagination, can you see the manger? Do you know who's there? That, my friends, is a wonderful counselor. Right there in that feeding trough, there in a dark cave, is the light of life. Jesus does not stay a baby. Jesus matures, he grows, he walks, he teaches, he heals. And some of his teachings people struggle with. They are difficult to understand. They are even very disturbing. One day, Jesus says, in a question that's posed to him, how often should I forgive not just the person that I come in contact with, but how often should I forgive those that are closest to me? Jesus absolutely blows their minds by saying, not 7 times, but how many? 70 times 7. Does that sound impossible to you? Even as you hear those words, maybe some of you are starting to sense the darkness roll back in as you think of how someone has hurt you. Let me ask you that question this morning. What are you going to do with the hurt that you've experienced, maybe at the hand of someone very close to you? Because as a counselor and a pastor, I will tell you that the darkness at first, it happens to you. And then the darkness begins to happen inside of you. And if it happens inside of you for long enough, it will begin to seep out and happen through you to the people that come in contact with you.
Jesus is talking to real people with real problems. People that have gone through betrayal and abandonment, real wounds, real conflict. And Jesus is saying, what are you going to do with that? Because wounds, as you know, if left untended, they fester and they get infected. When Jesus says to forgive your friends and your family, even your foes, maybe Jesus is on a direct mission to rescue us out of the darkness. The darkness that oftentimes moves us to becoming bitter and angry and cold. What if this is Wonderful Counselor? What if this is wonderful counsel that he is providing? What if this sage wisdom that Jesus gives to each of us, the one who redeemed us and knows you and loves you, what if these words come from someone who he himself looked up and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, as Roman soldiers drove spikes into his hands? What if this man really is a wonderful counselor? What if everything he says is really wonderful counsel? And what if the counsel that he provides so freely to you and to me, he intends to pull you and to pull me out of the darkness, to drag the darkness out of us? What if he is really trying to save us from the darkness? What if he really came to be a wonderful counselor? So in closing, I would just ask you, have you heard his voice this past year? Is there an area of your life right now, maybe your relationships, where Jesus has whispered to you, I really need to bring some change into that area of your life? Jesus may be saying, listen, you're traveling down a path of darkness. I need you to leave it. I need you to follow me. Let's just take some baby steps, and I will empower you. I will help you break away from that old addictive habit. I just wonder for how many of you this may be true this morning. If it is true that the past year you've heard your Lord's voice and you're beginning to follow a different voice, know and experience how much he loves you. Know and experience this morning how very fond that wonderful counselor is of you. Perfection is not what he's looking for. Just a movement in the right direction by his power and by his strength. And maybe you'll get knocked down, but grab his hand and get yourself back up again. Have you been pushing back? Maybe saying no? Has there been an area of your life where the Spirit keeps leaning in and prodding you and knocking at your door, and you've just locked your knees and you've crossed your arms and you say, I'm not going to let go of that habit. I'm not going to move away from that particular relationship that's damaging my life. Or maybe I'm not going to ever forgive that person who has hurt me so deeply. Let me just ask you, what if this wonderful counselor is longing to pull you out of the darkness and transform you into light and life? What if following this wonderful counselor means walking on the path, a new path of light and life? Just want to invite you this morning, if you're going through a season where you're pushing back, maybe you're going through a season where you're holding this wonderful counselor at arm's distance, would today be the day where you just let go? Today, wonderful counselor, by your grace, through your power, I'm going to leave the darkness behind me. If I stay on this path, it's going to cause a lot of people pain, including me. Today, if you hear his voice, says the Holy Word, the voice of wonderful counselor, harden not your hearts. Just open yourself up. Just say with the simple words, Jesus, I say yes to you. Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, by your grace, I want to move forward. Just move forward, starting today. What if he really is a wonderful counselor? What if he really is a merciful Savior who knows you better than you know yourself, who made you, who understands you deeply, who gave himself up for you? What's in a name? And his name, her name, will be. Well, we really haven't decided on a name yet. No, Isaiah says, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So on this day, for all you within the hearing of my voice, on this day, may you hear his voice. May you follow this wonderful counselor wherever he may lead.